Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Joining me is my beautiful wife, Sarah Eastridge.
Hey.
So back again, and today we're going to be watching a movie Sarah has never seen. That movie is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which I have been desperately trying to get her to watch for as long as we've been together, I feel like.
Yeah. I can't believe I haven't seen this before.
I know.
It's kind of one of those movies that's escaped me completely.
Yeah, I'm really just using this episode of Missing Frames as an excuse for us to watch this movie.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being strong-armed a bit, but I'll go along with it.
The podcasting is the second priority.
Yes.
Under just getting you to watch this movie. But are you a fan of Monty Python? Do you know much about them?
I actually don't know if I've experienced any of it. I think I've seen snippets of Life of Brian.
Okay.
So I've seen a little bit here and there on TV.
A lot of people like Life of Brian the most.
Really?
Like out of the three they did, I think there was one they did before Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but this was their first
big
feature.
Yeah.
I think the one before this was more like a sketch comedy type deal, but this was an original feature, an original story that they treated as like an actual film. So I think a lot of people typically pick either this one or Life of Brian. I think Holy Grail is the best. It's the Holy Grail of Monty Python movies.
I don't even know what I'm getting myself into.
I don't think
truthfully.
You do either. I don't know. I honestly don't know what you're going to think of this movie.
Well, I know that it was a improv group, comedy group, or that's how they got started. Like, and they're British.
Okay, so that's pretty much my baseline is that they are Brits and they are part of a comedy troupe.
Yeah, they're very influential comedy troupe.
Yeah, and that's really all I know. I know that they wear like, you know, they're like knights or something, I think, and they're like storming a castle. I don't know. That's basically my knowledge of this film.
Okay.
I see a lot of like anniversary editions. You know, we'll go to the theater and they'll be like, oh, Monty Python is coming back to theaters. And that's basically all I know about
this
movie.
So you don't know this movie is so quoted. Like, I remember my first exposure to this film was in elementary school or like... I think moving up into middle school. So I think I first saw this in like seventh grade, I want to say. But I had to watch it because everyone in my class was quoting this movie. Like everybody. And it sounded hysterical. And even my teacher, I remember one of my teachers was like, oh, I hated that movie. It was so stupid. But then even he would describe scenes and start cracking himself up. And like, I remember we took like 20 minutes out of one of our classes because he was just describing scenes from the movie and everything he said, he was like, oh, the movie's so stupid. But then there's this one part where this, and he would describe a scene and it would be hysterical. And then I couldn't understand why he was like so convinced the movie was terrible, but then he kept making himself laugh with scenes from the movie. So I was like, well, I've got to see this.
Is it kid friendly? Kind of.
I mean, it's rated PG, but this is back in like 75 when PG could mean anything. Jaws was rated PG for crying
I always
out
liked
loud.
PG for 16 Candles, where you get the F word, you see a topless lady, I believe.
I mean, PG-13 didn't exist until 84. I don't know if 16 Candles was before that, but it was still, that's still definitely sketchy to drop an F bomb in a PG rated movie. I feel like Monty Python is like teetering on the edge. There's some stuff in there that's definitely not kid appropriate at all, but for the most part, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. I loved it once I find, but it was actually the effect of the film was diluted a little bit by the fact that I'd heard it quoted so much. So many of the funniest moments I already knew, I could already quote along with the movie as I was watching it for the first time.
I don't know if I know any quotes, or maybe when I'm watching this movie, I'll be like, oh, that's why people say that weird thing that I never understood. That might happen.
We'll talk about it when we come back to review the movie, but there are a lot of, what I love about this movie is there's the quotable stuff, but then there's stuff that people don't quote as much that is, I feel like, just as quotable. Like, I've definitely used some of the more obscure quotes from this movie in my regular day-to-day. I just find it amazing. There's so much about this movie to love. There's absurdist stuff, there's subtle stuff. I mean, it runs all over the place in terms of types of comedy. But some fun facts about this. So very, very low budget movie. Apparently it was $400,000, which isn't terrible. I mean, it's still pretty low budget. The movie looks low budget, which is part of the charm and hilarity of the film itself. But cool fact, Pink Floyd, they were a huge fan of Monty Python. They helped fund the movie.
Really?
Yeah, not just Pink Floyd, but Led Zeppelin as well. Because Monty Python are like, they're huge. I mean, they're the pinnacle of British comedy. They kind of pioneered the whole thing. So they're huge over there. And I mean, but yeah, so they helped fund the movie and they were huge fans. And then the other cool fact is Terry Gilliam, the famous director, was a member of Monty Python. And he co-directed this with Terry Jones, I believe, who was another one of the members. But this is technically Terry Gilliam's first movie. And he would go on to do Time Bandits, Brazil, 12 Monkeys, Fisher King. Like,
wow.
A very like pioneering director. It's just so funny that this was his first movie. It doesn't show... I mean, there's definitely a style to it and vision to it, but not like he would demonstrate in his later movies. But... that's pretty great as well. So are you at all interested in seeing this movie? Are you kind of just
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like it's a bucket list movie. Like, it's like, okay, Sarah, you got to watch this movie.
Right.
Everyone but you has seen it. I don't know if it would be something like, you know, when we're like sitting down a Friday night, I'm like, hey, let's look through our movies. Yeah, let's watch this. That would never happen. But you are very enthused about it. A lot of people really love this movie. So I am excited to see if it is worth the hype that people bring to it. So we'll see.
Well, there you go.
I'm a little skeptical, but I'm ready.
Let's just make it happen.
All right. Because
I am excited to see what you think.
Okay.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Welcome back, everybody. We just finished Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Sarah, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, yay or nay?
Yay, for sure. Yeah. I think my stomach hurts from laughing so hard. Like, I have to admit, I was really skeptical. I was like, this is probably just super hyped up. Everyone loves it. I'm going to think it's dated or boring or whatever. And I... was completely wrong, and I'm really happy that I was totally wrong.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I honestly think I can't remember if I ever watched this in college, but I watched it obsessively in middle school and high school. So I don't want to say it's been that long since I last saw it, but it's been a really long time. And I forgot, I mean, a lot of the jokes you remember, a lot of the quotable stuff, like, what are you going to do, bleed on me? And, you know, no, it's just a flesh wound. And the oh knights who say knee. I mean, everything about this movie is, like, immediately quotable. But I forgot how consistently and inventively funny it is. Like, they kind of shift around. You kind of... there's a danger with like slapstick comedy, especially, of it getting very old, and you kind of, once you kind of get used to the rhythms, it starts to get tiring and
wearisome. Or predictable.
Yeah. And this movie always keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. It totally doesn't lose momentum at all. And I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. And right from the get go, it's like blasting you with jokes. Cause I remember the opening credits were going on and you were kind of like, oh, opening credits. And then you started paying attention to what was happening.
Oh my gosh.
And the Swedish subtitles with the moose.
Oh my goodness.
And at what point, I just want you to explain what you were thinking as that happened. Cause you had a very verbal reaction.
Yeah, I did have a verbal reaction. I was just like, okay, la da da, like, you know, kind of checking my phone and like, you know, I can kind of daze out a little bit. It's just the credits. And then I'm like, why are they talking about moose like so much? And like they kept saying wick also.
Yeah, wick at the beginning also. Yeah. Also wick.
And I'm like, what? Like, it took me a second because I think I out loud was like, what is happening? Is this
you were
part
like,
of
what's
the thing?
Wick? Should I look that up?
I know. I was like, do I need to know what a wick is? Like, I don't understand, like a wick from a candle. I don't know what was going through my brain. But and then they start thanking the moose, and like, and then I one of my favorite screens is when they thank like tons of people and they have like, oh, and it was directed by.
Yeah, at the very,
like,
end,
at the very
like
bottom in
by,
small letters.
Because when they start doing the like seizure inducing colors,
yes.
The flashing, it's directed by Llama and Llama this and Llama that. And then at the very end, it's like, and also Terry Jones and Terry Gilliam.
No
but
big
I
deal.
Loved, and then they sack the subtitles. Like, it's like the people who have been sacked, the people who sacked the people that were sacked or have now been sacked. It was just like.
It was brilliant.
It's like immediately right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then we go from that. Right into the first scene.
Oh my
with
god!
Like the, you hear the galloping, and they come over, and you like lost your mind.
I lost my mind because I guess this is common knowledge, but I didn't know they would not be on horses. Like, I feel like I am the only one who doesn't get that. But I was just—I think I'm out loud. I was like, "Where are the horses? Is it because there was low budget?"
Well, that was—it was inspired by the fact they knew they weren't going to be able to afford horses, so they came up with the shtick of like, "Oh, they'll just gallop around with."
With
people
coconuts.
Banging coconuts behind
oh
them.
Oh my god. Like, I lost my mind. That was brilliant. I'm like in awe right now. I feel like I did not expect to gush over this movie in the slightest.
It's funny. When I was in high school, this was like, again, this is like our go-to movie. And my friends and I would go to football games, would go to dances, would go to every social event, and we would gallop around.
Oh my gosh.
Like that. We'd sing the dun 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 dun.
Did people know?
I don't think.
Or were they just like.
People were like, I think we annoyed everybody. I think that was it. In general, people were like, just stop. They didn't know what we were doing.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, that still happens to this day. So yeah, we would always quote that. To each other. I mean, or we'll quote that. We would quote this movie to each other, but we would always do the galloping and running around and stuff. So were you pretty much like, were you good to go from the beginning? Like, were,
yeah.
Was there, you were just on board.
I was on
like,
board.
It was I just remember it was very clear. I could sense you being won over by the movie.
Yeah. I think my big turning point, because at first it was kind of like, it won me over because it was funny and outlandish and weird and, you know, the credits. And I was like, that's creative. Ha ha. But honestly, the fight with the Black Knight, like yeah. That, I was like, all right, point of no return. I am on board. I am here for this movie. Take me away. Like,
I remember when they chopped off the arm and the blood just started spraying out as a kid, just being like,
he's like, oh, flesh wound.
He's
like, losing my mind.
You got an arm off. And he's like, no, I haven't. He's like, what's that on the ground? It's just a flesh wound.
And even when they take one of his legs and he's hopping and he just is hopping into the guy.
Well, I love that. But the one of the scenes that got the strongest reaction from you were we had to pause it so you could go to the bathroom because
yeah.
You were crying.
I needed a tissue because my
was
makeup
the,
was running.
The guys, the PAA zoo chanting where they
oh,
would slap each, they would
no.
Hit themselves with the boards.
Yeah. So these monks just start chanting and then
it's
they
very
have.
Serious.
Yeah. And it's very serious. I'm like, this is weird. And then at the end of their little mantra, they have these wooden boards and they start smacking their faces and I lost it. Like, there are tears streaming down
I
my
face. I thought that was so funny that was like, because it's funny, but you had
it
such a strong
me.
Reaction to
I
that
did.
Moment.
I can't even think about it right now. I'm going to start crying. Just like tears are going to start rolling. But I had to be like, you have to pause the movie. I need a tissue. My mascara is just going down my face.
So was that your, would you say that's your favorite scene or the Black Knight? What would you say
oh.
Is your favorite? There's too many.
Honestly, you know, one of my favorite scenes is the witch, where they like measure her with a duck to
yeah.
See what weighs more. Like that, I don't know if it had the strongest reaction, but for me, I think it was very.
When they're
funny.
Talking to the people, and they're like, yeah. "What else floats in water? Bread, apples, very small rocks."
Yeah, I think that might have been my favorite scene.
Apparently, there's a moment in that scene where you can see them kind of breaking character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they
I didn't
just
notice,
lose
but that's
it.
Cool.
Yeah, but so what else?
Black
Knight,
gosh.
Which scene?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but one of the castles that they go to that's like all women seductresses. Like, that was very funny.
Because that's probably the weakest scene in the movie. And
yeah.
I forgot that about halfway through, the woman turns to the camera and says, oh, should we have deleted this scene? And I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
How could I have forgotten this?
I liked that a lot.
I think,
the knee people. What are they called? The Knights of
Knee?
Knights Who Say Knee. Hilarious. I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm like, oh, yeah. And then the next scene was good. good. And then, oh yeah, the next scene was good. And then, I mean, the whole movie every was sketch freaking is, hilarious.
I mean, it's basically a series of sketches with this kind of very thin line of like, oh yes, we're traveling to find the Holy Grail. And then at the end, they just get arrested by police.
Yeah.
Which is so much funnier to me now. As a kid, I remember being like, wait, they didn't get the Grail?
After all that?
But it's so much funnier just that they went through all this trouble and then they just get arrested. And that's the end of the movie.
And then it just goes to black. Nope, nothing. That's it.
It's just we're done.
So funny.
I could not pick a favorite scene from this movie. It's impossible. Tough. One of my favorite punchlines in the entire movie is there's the Camelot dance scene where they're like, we've made it to Camelot.
Oh.
And they do the whole routine and then it just cuts to King Arthur going, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot. 'Tis a silly place.
Yeah.
And they just go off.
It's like, wait, but it's Camelot. That's where you're supposed
to go. So the actor, Graham Chapman, who, you know, is a member of Monty Python, he plays King Arthur. He might be my favorite character. He basically plays the straight man in this movie, but just he's so like consistently, like he's so like energetic and he's so devoted. I must find and the name of King Arthur. And he's just very, very, I love him so much. He apparently was like really struggling with like alcoholism at the time, which is so sad. He would forget his lines. He would have like panic attacks and stuff. And people thought he was just like exhausted because the shoot was really difficult. But apparently a few years later, he was able to overcome that struggle. But during the entire shoot, he just kept forgetting his lines and everything.
Aww.
And you would never guess it because he's so like I said, he's committed and he's so bold and confident throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, and there you go. This movie was apparently just a very difficult shoot in general. Like a lot of the Monty Python members don't like it that much. I think they say Life of Brian is the best thing they've done. I like Holy Grail more, but I think a lot of it has to do with just how much of a struggle it was to shoot the movie.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with the fights and bickering between Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones, the two co-directors of the movie, the Terrys.
Okay.
And the problem was Terry Jones was like, let's just get it done. These are the jokes. This is what we're shooting. Let's do it. And of course, Terry Gilliam, who would go on to become Terry Gilliam, the director, the visual auteur, is trying to find the beautiful shots. And he was so obsessed with the technical aspects of the film that it kept bogging everybody down. And everybody's just like, just shoot the movie.
Yeah.
And he would get really upset and pissy because they would be like, let's just shoot the shot. And they'd yell at him and he'd go off and I don't want to shoot anymore. And he'd lay down and like mope and stuff because nobody wanted to do his vision. But a lot of all the drawings and the sketches, I believe, are his.
Really?
And when the animator has a fatal heart attack and dies, he plays the animator that falls back in his chair.
Oh, that's so funny.
But King Arthur is probably my favorite character. I also love Tim the Enchanter, who, by the way, John Cleese... The reason his name is Tim is because during that line, John Cleese forgot his line, what the guy's real name is. So he goes, there are some who call me Tim.
Oh, he forgot the line.
So they
that
just
wasn't
went with that.
Rehearsed.
No,
that was...
they just went with that. Like, okay, his name's Tim. All right. Do you have a favorite character from the movie?
King Arthur is like really up there.
I like Lancelot a lot as well.
Yeah, Lancelot a lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, Lancelot. I love his whole scene with the effeminate prince who doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
I love
great scene.
Yeah,
too.
When we were talking about it before the show, one of my favorite lines that nobody quotes as much as like the Knights of Knee and everything else is like, one day, my lad, this will all be yours. What, the curtains? Not the curtains. I don't know why, but I think that's hysterical. And then the two guards who are,
oh
like,
my gosh,
can't get the story, like, you know, just stay here and make sure he doesn't leave.
And when
like,
they follow him out at the end.
But then so Lancelot, you know, played by John Cleese, has this amazing scene where he just goes in and kills everybody.
I think I was pretty like audible during that.
You're
scene
like, is
too.
He just killing everybody?
I'm like, but it's a wedding.
I know. And I love they have this drawn out moment where he's running towards the castle.
Yeah.
And it's like, really keeps showing the same shot over and over again. And then suddenly he's, aha, and he's there and he kills the one knight and the other one, or the guard. And then the other one just goes, hey,
there are a lot of really small, brilliant moments in this film.
I know.
Just like very, very brilliant. I'm very impressed. I'm gushy.
Gushy. Do you have, so who did you like the most besides King Arthur? Was it just him, or was there any other moment?
Gosh,
that you...
I loved all of it. Can I give like a shout out to the rabbit, because that was amazing, and I think that might be one of my other favorite characters.
That scene works so well because it's like it works on multiple levels, because they set it up as like it's a punchline that this horrible monster, and then it's just a cute little rabbit.
Yeah.
So that's the punchline where they're like, "You are such an idiot," and then they double it up with another punchline of like, "Oh, the rabbit is a monster,"
and it just starts like savage, just goes savage on these people and like pulling out their jugulars, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
I know.
This
and then and then they can only use the holy hand grenade to defeat it.
I don't know. It was so good.
What was there anything that didn't work about this movie for you? Like, there's a lot of stuff that did work. Was there anything that you were kind of like, that didn't work as well for me?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I really liked it. This is a little different than normal, where I'm like, yeah, there were things for other episodes we've done. But I don't know. I really liked it. I was
just
pretty
across
engaged.
The board,
yeah.
It just works.
It was just very funny. I kept laughing through the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really take a beat. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just good. I mean, I don't know what I would have cut out. I mean, I guess it felt maybe a little long, but I was still so entertained. I didn't care.
I
was like,
give me
more.
It's only 90 minutes, too.
Yeah, it just didn't, like, you know, I don't know. I'm good with it.
Were you, I mean, was this kind of in line with what you thought it was going to be?
No.
What did you think it was going to be? That's what I want to know. Like, what were you expecting when you watched it?
I thought maybe it was more like really dry British humor.
Yeah.
Which I don't always sync with.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do, but it's just not the humor that I normally am like, yeah, I go for that.
I feel like Life of Brian, the reason I mean, I like British humor, but I feel like Life of Brian and Meaning of Life are a bit more British than this one.
I'd
which is why I like this one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, that's what I was expecting.
They're all good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Holy Grail has always stood at the top for me. And it's because it's so broad and it's so absurd and it just has so many great ideas. I mean, Life of Brian I do enjoy, but it is a little bit drier, the humor.
Well, and I'm honestly impressed even with the low budget, like what they did with it. It's it looks low budget in that sense, but like still all those costumes, the locations, like everything they did, I was like, there's a lot of people in this movie
too. They did
great.
I mean, the production design and the costuming is amazing.
And I thought the set designs were great. Like the whole thing, I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
like you did this for like $400,000, $500,000.
Right.
That's awesome.
And
like,
another funny story. So when they were making Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, they were trying to decide. So that's the third one. They'd done Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom. Spielberg had been trying to come up with what is the thing that he's going to be hunting in the third movie.
Yeah.
And when they came up with the Holy Grail, his biggest concern was that people would not take it seriously because of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But then
that's
they did
funny.
It anyway. They came up with the angle of Indiana Jones meeting his dad. And they're like, that'll, you know, the Holy Grail, it'll distract from that. But I always thought that was funny that Monty Python has such an influence that Spielberg almost considered not using the Holy Grail
switching
in
it.
Indiana Jones because
it
had
funny.
Such a legacy. I mean, it made about $5 million on its $400,000 budget. So
that's
it definitely
awesome.
Made a profit, and they were able to do more of them. But their sketch shows are great, but it's tough. I feel like we talk a little bit about Pink Floyd in the pre-show, how Pink Floyd helped them out. And a lot of people would say Pink Floyd's best album is Dark Side of the Moon, which is the most well-known. It's become almost a joke to say that Dark Side of the Moon is my favorite Pink Floyd album, because it's like, okay, do you also like breathe air? Like, what do you but it does feel like Monty Python and the Holy Grail has kind of become the Dark Side of the Moon of Monty Python in a way, where it's like, oh yeah, you think Holy Grail is the best one, but for the same reasons I think Dark Side of the Moon is Pink Floyd's best album, I think Holy Grail is their best movie, because it's consistently hysterical, the jokes all work, it's colorful, it's fun, it just everything about it works for me, and I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, so I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. Now I'm like, I want to go watch all of the
other
ones.
I do too, and I want to watch their Flying Circus is really great too. That's the show they did together. There's lots of great stuff that they've done. But
how long were they together until?
Oh, let me look that up.
Sorry, that's okay. Too bad question.
So they were together consistently for about 13 years, 1969 to like mid 80s.
Okay.
And then they would kind of reunite every so often. 89, they reunited. 98, they did again. And then 2013, they got back together. So consistently, it was like 70s through early 80s. And then they would kind of reunite every so often
Can they reunite again?
I know. Well, some of them have passed
away. I know. I didn't want to ask that question. Yeah. So I'm like, oh no, doing the math.
I know. Graham Chapman. Actually, I think Graham Chapman's the only one. The guy who played King Arthur. He's
really?
The only one who passed away.
My favorite.
Yeah. He's so good in this movie. I love it. I'm glad he also plays Brian, the main character in Life of Brian, which
I'm
is
very
really
excited
great.
To watch
he's
that.
Very good. He's just I haven't seen enough of their sketches to know, but he's very good as the straight man, and he plays the straight man in Life of Brian as well. But he just has the sincerity to him, and he's very, very believable. Again, he's very confident and very believable in his role. I always loved him a lot. And then, of course, I mean, these guys have done so much, and John Cleese has done so much. He's been in Harry Potter, James Bond, pretty much every great British franchise. He's been in those. And then, of course, Terry Gilliam, who's one of the great directors. And we've got to watch. I'd love to see The Fisher King. I haven't seen that, but Brazil is magnificent, and I haven't seen Time Bandits.
Have you seen 12 Monkeys?
Yes, 12 Monkeys. Okay. I have seen. That's great too.
It's a good one. Yeah,
he's wonderful. It's just so funny. Yeah, you see glimmers of him trying to break through his visual style, because this movie was really, I think, a lot of the excuse of why they made this movie was he and Terry Jones just wanted to do it to see if they could make a feature length. And I just think it's so funny that where Jones was like, oh, let's just get it done. Gilliam's like, oh, I want to make, you know, you could see.
Yeah, his masterpiece.
His art form was starting to take hold, and how he would kind of evolve and
so fascinating.
Turn into a film director. But so you think this has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's generally regarded as top. Like 10 funniest movies of all time. What do you think? Do you think it's deserving of the status?
Yeah, it's so worth the hype.
Yep. So it lives up to expectations.
Totally.
There you go.
Exceeded.
So how many, on a scale of 1 to 5 holy hand grenades, how many holy hand grenades would you give Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
I'm going to give it a perfect 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
There
like
we
this
go.
Was like very impressive. I can't complain. And I laughed a lot. I laughed so hard I cried on several occasions. So I feel like that is that's a solid 5.
Well, that
grenades.
I am in complete agreement with you there. And I think everyone, if you haven't seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail in a long time, I can't recommend it more. I was so impressed by it. And even like, there are movies that you quote over and over again that kind of get old. This movie just never gets old for me. Even with people just talking about it all the time, it still works perfectly for me. So that's that. That's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. High recommendations from the wife and the husband. So go see it.
Go see it.
And go see it. It's in theaters now.
Yeah. Well, it might be soon. I feel like it cycles through every couple years.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, I mean, we're coming up on the 45th anniversary.
You go. Either now years. Or like give it 5 more years and
there
you'll see
go.
It.
And you'll get it in theaters. So yeah. And while you're going out to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail, because you go out to watch a movie that you own on Blu-ray and DVD, you should check out the Nerd Party in general. Go to thenerdparty.com. Lots of great shows. Great people doing great things. We talk about Star Trek. We talk about writing. We talk about all things nerd. You got to check it out. And check out our blog as well. Richie Pepio is doing a really great 120 so days of Empire as we're leading up to The Last Jedi. And he's reviewing each minute of The Empire Strikes Back.
And he's killing it.
Yeah, he's killing it. And is he insane? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, you will love this stuff. And if you like what you're hearing, give us a 5-star rating on wherever you're listening. We're all over the place. So if there's a rating system, 5 stars. You know you want to do it. I encourage it.
Give us 5 grenades.
5 holy hand grenades, please. We need them. But thank you so much for tuning in, Sarah. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode, allowing me to show you this movie.
You're so welcome.
I know we have to do this episode, but also it was really just an excuse to get you to watch it. I'm thrilled you enjoyed it.